The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
I'm going to start off with asking you what you did last night, Jamie.
Last night?
Yeah.
Jamie?
It wasn't that long ago.
No comment.
Okay. What did you do?
No comment.
That's not really helpful, is it, Jamie?
Sorry.
Okay, no worries. Let's move on to something we can talk about. I've been reading your school reports.
Why?
I got your teachers to send them over. It's looking good. Doing really well. You're a good student. You want to take your A-levels?
You can answer that, Jamie.
I don't know.
Okay. They also talk about some problems with your behaviour more recently. Last year or so.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what are the problems? What are they?
I don't know.
Yes, that, of course, was from Adolescence. So many of you would have seen it now. If you haven't, I mean, what have you been doing for the last few days? Shane Coleman and Ciara Kelly are with me.
Hey, Kieran.
This is strange, isn't it?
It is. We're up very late.
Yeah, I hope you're getting well paid for this.
Hugely well paid.
Yeah. Shane, I hope you're getting paid with a pink Ciara.
That never happens.
That's never been the case.
Come on, let's get real here.
I have an NDA. We're not allowed to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Look, before we get into kind of the themes and everything that are explored in it, what did you think? Did you enjoy it, Adolescence, Shane?
Yeah, I thought it was really powerful. I mean, I don't know if enjoy is the right word, because certainly for the first couple of episodes, I had a knot in my stomach watching it, which gently eased, but I thought it was brilliant. And I actually thought, unlike, you know, a lot of dramas, for the first half an hour, you're going, this is amazing. And then three or four in, you're kind of going, actually, I'm kind of sick of this. I actually thought this got better as it went along, and I thought the final episode, even though it was the most understated and maybe the least happened, I just thought it was so powerful. I thought it was brilliant. Yeah, I thought top quality drama, I really did.
Ciara?
Yeah, I thought it was a very uncomfortable watch. We have five sons between us.
Do you?
That sounds all wrong. I have three, Jane has two. But as someone who has teenage sons, I found it a deeply uncomfortable watch. And I think probably like lots of parents, I operate by trying not to think about, you know, things like this. I don't kind of overthink them or analyze them. I'm not spending my days checking my kids' phones or one, you know, all that stuff. So I think we spend a lot of our time, you know, hoping for the best as parents. And then you see this, and this is the worst case scenario. And the sad thing, I suppose, about it is we know this kind of thing has happened. Jamie Bulger was killed by teenagers. Anna Creechel was killed by teenagers. We know that at times very young teens have committed heinous crimes. And that is terrifying. And obviously I do believe that the worst thing from all that is for the family of the victims. And we didn't look at that at all in this. But excuse me, for the family of the perpetrators, it was clearly devastating from this. And I thought it was very powerful.
Do you know what I really liked as well? I've heard actually some people criticizing it for this reason, but I actually thought it was a strength. It didn't offer a simplistic solution. You know, people say, but we don't know what the motive was. But I suspect in all of those cases, nobody really ever knows, including maybe the perpetrators. So I thought it avoided that, looking for simple kind of scenarios as to why it played out the way it did. So yeah, I thought it was brilliant.
What did you make of the one shot part?
I liked it because it felt like it was real. It felt like you were wandering around the school. The school was one of the most toxic environments. It would actually scare you. If you ever had to go back to school, I can't think of anything worse, because that place was terrifying.
That was my least favourite episode. I thought episode two, yeah. And I'm curious, we have a former lawyer here in our midst. I thought there was bits of the second episode where they're in the school that seemed unrealistic to me.
Well, there's bits of everything that are a bit unrealistic.
Yeah.
I thought bits of the first episode were unrealistic. The parents never asked who he was meant to have killed. That would be the first, you know, you'd blurt it out even just as, like, what's this about? What are you saying? What did he do?
Yeah.
All they kept saying was, no, he didn't kill anyone. He didn't kill anyone. If someone came through the door and said,
who are you talking about?
What are you talking about? What murder? What murder? We don't know anything about a murder. What murder are you talking about?
Who's dead?
Yeah, who's dead? They never ask that. Which it is a slightly unrealistic.
It is then, a dramatization.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, and you can pick up. But I was kind of curious. I mean, would a police officer, even in a murder investigation, be kind of allowed maraud around the school in the way that he was?
Yeah, I don't know. And his son was in the senior part of the school a couple of years later. That was a bit, I actually don't know the answer to this, but I would, when I saw that, now again, they included it, I'm sure, for the sake of telling the story, that it was an easy way for a child in the school to access
go to him and explain
the make him a child of the police officer.
Explain the emojis, explain what the significance
but
was.
I think if that were, I don't know, and maybe this kind of, I'm sure there's Gardaí listening, but I'd imagine here they'd say, whoa, no, my kids are in that school.
Yeah.
I can't go near them.
Yeah, I'm compromised here.
Yeah.
I think
nobody knows.
Slightly tangential, though, to the thrust of the thing. And I think that the thrust of the thing is about, I guess, about where the manosphere is at and where young boys and young men and teens are at. Like, as somebody who has three young men who live in my house who I love very dearly, I don't really like things like the terms toxic masculinity. I don't like it. I don't like labelling boys or innate or inherent sort of masculine traits as bad or as negative. I don't like that. And I also, it's not my experience that teenage boys are all little gits. Do you know what I mean? That they're all consumed by porn and they're all consumed by women hating and everything. I don't doubt that there are some. I thought
Richard Hogan, we had Richard Hogan on the show this morning. I thought he kind of summed it up really well. He was saying, look, I've listened to all the Andrew Tate stuff. And he said, I've kind of run it by lads, young fellas. And he said, they all know. They know it's ridiculous. They kind of rolled their eyes at that. But he said, but if you're a vulnerable kid or you're
an isolated kid, an alienated kid,
maybe, just maybe, he strikes a chord. So I think it is a small fraction, but that's
all. And that's always the small. I mean, it's the same way when we talk about things like Love Island. We go, oh, don't let your daughter watch Love Island. They'll all want to get their lips filled. No, maybe one or two will want to get their lips filled. The rest of them will laugh and not want to do any such thing. So I think it's always the vulnerable kid that is the one who is affected by the whatever, the negative narrative or the thing that feeds their insecurity or their alienation or whatever. It's always that kid. Mm. But there was a lot to think on. There was a lot to think on.
But if we're accepting that, right, it's a minority who will kind of fall prey.
For sure.
To that. It's a minority of that minority who will stab a fellow classmate to death.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, like, there's a slight sense, and this is maybe a broader criticism of it, this week, with some of the lauding, that this is... it's a bit like the video nasties after Jamie Bulger was killed.
Yeah.
These are going to turn people into killers. You know, like...
No, I know what you're saying. And I do... I think there's some truth to what you're saying. It is the minority, and it's the minority of the minority, and it is all of that. But I guess this is a good talking point, because there has... I think we have all felt that there's something going on out there. You know, like... I've spoken to principals in my local primary schools. There's kids in their school who are like senior infants up, who have, I'm not saying that they're consuming it on a regular basis, but have come across, and their parents and their teachers know this, hardcore porn and things like that. The choking, the slapping, the humiliation, all that stuff. Not the plumber knocking around, you know, with a wrench. None of that stuff. The hardcore stuff. And these are children. Mm. And there is danger in that, in terms of warping kids. This is a kind of a way into this conversation.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's a way into that conversation. And I mean, this idea, you know, and the in the final episode, I don't think we're giving that away, because it's not really a type
There's no happy ending here.
But, you know, the couple are talking about, you know, we thought he was safe in his room. And look, let's be honest, the odds of, you know, a teenager carrying out something like that are, I don't know, 1 million to 1 or whatever. But the odds of them being in their room and accessing content that they shouldn't be accessing and that can impact on them, not in quite as dramatic a way as we saw in that drama, they're a lot lower. And I think maybe that is the conversation we should be having.
And I think we are, like, well, I think I am at least a little bit, even though I know it and I say it, sort of, you know, I intellectualize this and I rationalize this, I say this out loud, oh yeah, harmful content, blah, blah, blah. But I am a little bit naive when I think of my sons looking at harmful content. I kind of go, oh, it's probably fine. You know what I mean? But why would my sons be any different than anybody else's?
All right. Well, listen, that kind of brings us to another point about, you know, when we first got introduced to that whole manosphere thing. I want to get into that, but after this quick break. So Kira and Shane, you stay with me, back after this. Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman, both still with me. You talked about the school scenes. That school reminded me, says one listener, so much of my secondary school, absolutely chaotic, but I did love school. And I suggest that, Houston, we would have Gardaí listening, who'd correct us on procedure. I work for a detective unit, says Nikki. We've been talking about it nonstop. We don't look at the slightly incorrect police procedures. We universally agreed this was brilliant. The this that Nikki is referring to is the Netflix show Adolescence and the impact it is having. And Kira, before the break, you were kind of making the point that this show is allowing us or leading us into a conversation about, you know, the Andrew Tate or the manosphere and all that comes with it. But I mean, I have to say, when I hear people saying that, I ask myself, like, if you're only having the conversation now or you're only exposed to this conversation now, where have you been for the last 10 years?
Yeah, I think that
you guys have been having this conversation on your show over and over again. We've been talking about it over and over again. If I had a euro for every time Andrew Tate gets mentioned on the hard shoulder, I wouldn't have to work here. I'd be on as much money as Kira Kelly.
But I don't think that's true, Kieran. No, but I know what you're saying. But you know what? This is a relatable way of doing it because you identified with those parents. Like as you say, I don't think there's no spoilers here because it's four episodes. Most people, loads of people have seen it. And there's no kind of twist in this story. So
but it's this idea that it's...
But the devastation of the parents.
This is shining a light in the darkness. No. This is shining a light on something that has been illuminated over and over and over and over
again in popular media
for the last 10
years.
But
in a way, maybe we've heard that conversation, but we haven't related it to our own lives or to ourselves. And I was looking at that kid and I was going, Jesus.
But is he relatable?
I thought he was reasonable. No, not what he did wasn't
like
relatable. What he did, but you know, with that little tracksuit and wandering around with his mates and all that, there was something relatable. But, and the parents so kind of devastated. I felt there was something...
You're absolutely right.
It was the human side
I can't disagree with you. I'm tempted to kind of make a slight joke about if we only ever spoke about stuff that was absolutely original on air. Well, then we'd find it hard to... But anyway, we'll move on from that.
20 minutes every second Thursday.
Yeah, don't pull back the curtain on that. Yeah, exactly. But I think when something happens... I mean, I remember that Jamie Bulger...
Oh, God.
And it did prompt those kind of discussions and it did make everyone question... And I think when those things happen, and this TV drama, it is only a drama. It's thank God it isn't real life. But I suppose it does prompt conversations and conversations that maybe have happened.
I think
before.
This has humanized and made relatable a phenomenon that we've been talking about in the abstract.
We've been actual humans. We have laws in this country and people advocating for new laws to be named after people who have taken their own lives because of online bullying.
Yeah.
You know, how is that not more relatable? That's an Irish person, a real Irish person who took their own life because of this type of stuff. And now we're saying that a kind of a TV show with a kind of a gimmicky way of filming it is more relatable.
Yeah, I don't think...
Is that
fully,
not the world we live in?
Yeah, I don't fully agree with you, Kieran, because I think we relate to things in different ways. And I think sometimes abstract sort of concepts, things that we hear about in the news, even real sort
but
of...
An Irish kid isn't an abstract concept.
Things that we hear about in the news, I don't think we always do relate to them. I think things that we watch where we feel like we're in the home of the person, the mind of the person. It's like when you read a book, you're in it with the people. If you read a newspaper article about something very similar, I don't know. I don't think you connect. I think we connect with things in different ways. And I think the dramatization has worked.
And maybe I'm going a bit off the point here, but does it go a little bit to the obsession we have now with drama and with TV dramas and you have to watch this program. And if you don't watch this program, you're almost cast out in society. Like when I said I hadn't watched Succession, people were looking at me like, what?
You haven't watched Succession?
Well, actually, do you know what? I've now started to watch it, but I've got sucked in. But
the peer pressure got to him after about 5 years.
Are you suggesting, and maybe if you are, there's something to it that this week it's this drama. And okay, it happens to be a really heavyweight material.
I'm sure there's a phrase or a way of describing it, but it's like a version of the moral panic phenomenon. It's like, this is the thing that everyone's talking about it and everyone has an opinion and therefore I must have an opinion.
Yeah,
and
this is a lightning rod or a zeitgeist or one of those things.
I've all forgotten about adolescence. And we'll be talking about something.
But I have no doubt that this is going to be shown in SPHE or civics or whatever they're calling it these days. Do you know what I mean? That there will be teenagers in TY.
Well, if you believe that school, all they do is watch videos.
Yeah, all they do. Turn on that video. That school was nearly more frightening than anything else that happened in the whole
thing. I thought it was a little bit, that was all a little bit simplistic.
It was so awful. I think there is something in this. And I think, I know what you're saying, that it's not like we've never had these conversations before, but I think there is a collective viewing of this thing going on, a bit like Baby Range or whatever. Loads of people all watch it at the same time and discuss it all. It's the former, it's like the way we used to watch The Late Late Show and no one does now. Do you know what I mean? This is what this is. And I think there
Four people will actually watch The Late Late Show tonight and will watch the show. In terms of viewing figures. Blow it out of the water.
I don't think you're right. I think there's viewing figures.
Figures for Netflix shows are way, way below what The Late Late would average on a Friday night in Ireland. It's amazing. Anyway. We say everyone watches things.
I mean, I think, look, I think you have a point. There is a bit of a moral panic, and we do, and we're here discussing it. And
are we panicking though, or are we saying this is something that we need to tease out and we need to maybe, like, parenting is evolving.
Sorry, you're right about this now.
Parenting is evolving, and our kids' environment is evolving. Yeah. And I am not a digital native, and I am out of my depth with a lot of the stuff that they do online. I just am. I don't know my way around it like they know their way around it. So I think these conversations have a value.
Parent.
They absolutely do. And that's where I'd agree. I guess my criticism, maybe it's a slightly splitting hairs one, is I just don't think we needed this to get in. I think this conversation has been had.
Let me come at it from a different way.
It's an important, we absolutely need it.
As a parent, yeah. I found RTE did a program last year on pornography and the impact of pornography, and they had a studio full of young people talking about it. I found that way more disturbing and worrying and chilling in a way than this drama.
Really?
Yeah, because I think it's more that it's a way more realistic. This is absolutely happening. What happens in that drama is a one in a million. The impact of impact of porn on people, young people, young women, young men, all over Ireland, every day, every minute of every day is huge. So I find that way more.
I suspect because there is so much, and I think there is quite a lot of knife crime in the UK, and it is one of those things that keeps coming up in Westminster.
Yeah, that's slightly different.
Yeah, no, I know, but I suspect that is part of the conversation over there that's fueling this. Young people and knives was part of that too. Not saying we don't have knife crime here, of course we do, but we don't have the kind of waves of knife crime that they've seen in parts of London.
Culture of it.
No, we don't. So I think that might be a bit of it too.
Are your kids beyond the age though where you would necessarily be terrified about what they're like? Are they, they're kind of an age now where you'd hope they have the wherewithal. Mine are on the older side. They're older than the kid in this show. Aren't they?
My youngest is 15.
My youngest is 17.
Yeah. And mine are on the other, aren't not there yet.
Yeah.
So, I just have my head in the sand. So that's fine.
I think we're coming, I don't want to, you know, touch wood or whatever. I think we're coming out the other side of all this. I think so.
Yeah.
And I hope so. And my feeling about teenagers was this. I wanted mine to get through it largely unscathed. I wasn't like that. That was it. If I get them through unscathed, if they had friends, if they went out, you know, they seemed to be doing all that. They seemed to be kind of normal and well-rounded and have normal lives.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I aimed for my kids. And I'm happy enough that it's happening. But I mean, I'm fingers crossed.
Yeah. See, I'm not so sure. Can we know the impact? Can we know the fallout? Like, our kids' generation have been, for the last 10 years, just swamped by social media. Like, how do we know if it's had the impact it's had? I'm not sure we can, hopefully they're well-rounded and they're well-adjusted and all that, but do we know with our kids?
Is there a window during which you worry about when that impact kind of takes root?
I would think, say, from the ages of 13 up to 18 is when you're kind of going, you know, they're in secondary school. What's happening online? What kind of messages are they getting online? I'm not talking about stranger danger here. That's not something that I'm talking about. Are they being bullied? Are the people they know impacting on them and stuff? That would be the stuff I would worry about.
My feeling is they start to come around a bit sooner than that, as in they start to, like, I think from 16, 17, you're getting them back. I think they do, like, they all look the exact same from about 11, 12, 13, like I almost hugged a kid on the Dart station platform recently because I thought he was one of mine, and he wasn't. They just all looked the exact bloody same. Do you know what I mean? They're identical children.
That would have been awkward.
They all have, I know.
Too many jokes.
I know, but you know what I mean? I was like, oh, there he is. Oh God, it's not him. So I think they are all, I know, they're like a tribe. Do you know what I mean? They wear a uniform, whether they're wearing a uniform or not. They all have the same tracksuits and the same hair and the same everything. So I think they go through that phase of utter conformity. But I think from about 16, 17, their own little personalities start to bubble back out and you kind of start to get them back and they start to make jokes about stuff that they might have taken but more seriously when they were younger. Like, don't say that, Mom. But whereas now that you can kind of take the piss out of them a little bit and they become more robust and more individual again in the way they were when they were younger.
I suppose I'm talking more in the generality. We just don't know with this generation what impact social media will have on them. And I think it's far... A bit like, you know, Revolution. It's far too early.
Social media, porn, the pandemic. They've had a weird time, but I think like most generations who will have had their own set of challenges, I think that most of them will be very resilient through it. I think the small minority will struggle, and that's always been the case. And I think they're the ones you have to watch out for.
This is slightly off topic, but do you worry that we'll look back, or do you think we might look back at this as a period of time and scratch our heads as to how we let social media companies do what they do?
Yeah.
I was listening to a podcast during the week, and there's this book coming out, this Facebook whistleblower book, and another one, but this one is someone who's very high up. Did you hear the show?
Yeah, yeah.
So apparently the Instagram algorithm that they use, Kira, will know if you've deleted a selfie, and they will target you after you've deleted a selfie with ads to do a body image. So if a young girl deletes a selfie, now she might delete it for utterly benign reasons.
Yeah, completely.
But the algorithm works on the basis that she might not be deleting it for benign reasons.
You hate what you look like.
Her tummy is sticking out.
Yeah.
So there'll be like an ad for Spanx or something, or there'll be an ad for whatever. And
it's so cynical. It's dreadful.
I look back at my school days. There was a shop very close to my school that sold cigarettes. Single cigarettes to school kids. And you look back and go, how did anyone let that happen? And I wonder in 20 years' time, will we look back and say, how did
I think the online space, not just the manosphere.
Didn't do you any harm,
didn't really mean it. You got sick on your school trip, though, didn't you? That's a different story.
I told you all fair and on air.
But anyway, I think the online space to me reminds me of like the Wild West or something. We haven't put manners on it yet because we weren't quite, it was like it's a pioneering space. We don't really know how to put manners on it when we're only
Will we ever?
I hope so. Although it's like the universe, it keeps expanding and innovating and all that stuff. And that's the problem. Like AI, we're behind the curve of this thing the whole time. But I do think in time we will apply regulations to it, a bit like we have through the rest of society, because society over time, we realized they needed regulations, otherwise it's a horrible place for us all to live. And I think currently the online space is quite a horrible space for people to exist in.
Perversely, those regulations will probably come from Brussels, and our government will be lobbied very hard by the tech giants to be a country arguing against them.
Probably.
Maybe.
And they will do so.
Maybe.
That's the tax we pay, effectively. Yeah. Don't have to pay.
Well, the tech companies are all about to leave us anyway, so maybe, So on that basis, maybe we'll all be okay.
To bring it back then to the show, the kid is amazing in it, isn't he?
Yeah.
His first
ever acting gig. I think the kid is amazing, obviously.
The dad.
Stephen Graham is amazing. The mother, I think, in episode 4, oh my God, she's so powerful. And the daughter, who kind of ends up holding the family together in the end, it's just... There isn't a bad performance.
Yeah. Apparently, so I heard during the week that when it got down to the last 4 or 6 kids who were auditioning for the part, that Stephen Graham gave them all parts in it. They're all in it.
Oh,
all the
good
kids who he just was like, you've gotten so far and you're all brilliant.
Okay.
I'm going to give this kid. We're going to give you all different parts.
The really cheeky kid who kept given all the smart answers at school, disliked.
Fredo, is that his name? I think his name is Fredo or Frodo or something.
Yeah, I can't remember his name now. Yeah.
He was a cheeky little rip.
Oh, yeah, that's the lad who had the photos of your one and sent him on, and your man when with the therapist and said, you know, he was stupid. He should have kind of built up a bank of them or whatever.
So he could have been the main.
He could have been the main character, exactly. Would have been totally different.
The acting was very powerful, and it also felt very real. You know, you didn't feel they were acting. Like, you felt that, I felt anyway, particularly as you said in episode 4, the family dynamic at the end, they're devastated.
They filmed the entire episode 10 times in a row, the last one.
Did they?
Because, you know, it's one an actual shot. Not like 1917 isn't really one shot. When it goes behind a tank, they actually stop it and then they pick it up again.
Right.
But this was genuinely one shot done in real time, and they did the final episode 10 times in a row from start to finish. That doesn't count all the times they did it and somebody sneezed or somebody tripped and they went back and started again.
Mad.
You know, like Tetris, you know, once you hit the top, you start again. They had to do that each time, but they got start to finish.
They
10
must
times.
Have been
isn't it amazing.
Drained, like it was draining watching that last episode, I thought.
Yeah.
And they must have been completely and utterly.
So that very final scene, I won't say what it is, but with the dad.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Yeah. And I don't know which, I don't actually, that's
apparently
a good question.
He ad-libbed.
Did they use?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was necessarily take 10. He ad-libbed apparently at the end. Like the end wasn't completely scripted. Yeah. Obviously he was the writer as well as the actress, couldn't do whatever the hell he wanted, but he did. That part of that was unscripted and unplanned, all that stuff towards the end. One thing I'll say, I did like the one shot thing, but there was times when I thought, oh, here, lads, a bit of editing. They're walking up and down stairs and things, and like
to the Garda station. I was nearly going to say the police station. The first episode, I thought we could skip ahead.
But
I did notice that the dad's character said, when they said, "Do you know where the police station is?" He went, "Yeah, it's just around the corner." Well, that's handy.
Thank God for that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because otherwise, it would have been a long 15 minutes. Yeah,
exactly. It's stopping traffic lights and. Exactly. Beeping the horn.
Yeah.
All of it
was a little bit too real at times.
So heavy going, but you'd recommend it?
Yeah, I would recommend it.
Oh, yeah. I think it's really good. You know, without obviously going back to my earlier point, you have to watch this. Of course you don't, but I think it's worth watching.
I think I will talk to my kids about it and ask them to watch it too. I suspect that their take will be different.
I watched it with my daughter. I watched
Did you?
It with my 17.
I have a feeling my lads will be dismissive.
She, you know what? She thought it was a really good drama. I didn't sit down with her afterwards and kind of tease it out with her. And I'm not sure I'm going to do that either.
Yeah.
But
I have a feeling my lads will be dismissive and go, "Oh, this is one of those things that adults are like, oh, haven't." I think they'll be like you. They'll be like, "Oh, it's one of the things adults are always worried about. We're actually grand. We're not stabbing anyone."
Myself and the youth.
Yeah,
you're down with them.
I have a feeling that's what I haven't done it.
I actually think Kira was accusing you of being immature.
That's actually not what I was doing. But I think that's what my lads will be a bit eye rolly and kind of go, "Come on, mom, now this is just Netflix. You do know that, don't you?" Kind of thing.
So
they might be right.
Heavy going, but we'd recommend it.
Yeah, I think
breakfast every morning.
Yes. Yeah,
7 o'clock
every morning.
Careful now. You weren't singing that tune a few years ago.
We were down with the youth a few years ago.
You were the youth a few years ago. That's what it was.
That's the tragedy. Kieran, Shane, thanks a million.
Not at all.
Thanks, Kieran.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.